as you lads know, I have problems sometimes with my bladder. I don't know if problems is the right word, but I find it difficult to travel if I've had a drink or something because I'm terrified that I'm going to piss myself.
And yeah, of course.
I think a lot of it is anxious bladder, to be honest, because sometimes I can drink and be all right. And then other times, if I get it in my head, there's been times I'm getting off trains to urinate. So liquid, obviously beer, lager, goes right through you, doesn't it? Now, my question is, other certain liquids that I call thickwids.
I love it.
I.e. smoothies, soup, for example, this kind of stuff. If I went out and had six smoothies, for example, I had six pints of thickwid. Am I still going to need to piss as much, is my question, or is it mainly fiber? John?
Oh, it's a good question, Matt. I mean,
is custard a thickwid?
It's a great question, and I must say, I've got to tell you now, I love the phrase thickwid. It's like, it's one of those things where you think, why has that not been said before?
Yeah, well, I thought about it the other night, and I quickly wrote it down, and I thought, I need to introduce the next podcast with this. And it's been a little while, but
let me say this though, right? If you put a orange in a blender, right, take the skin off. Obviously, we're not animals.
You're not a monster.
Not a monster. And you liquidize that, and you drink it, and you eat the pith and the pulp. It's just the same liquid, isn't it? As it would have been if you were just drinking orange juice, right? Do you know what I mean? Is orange juice isn't a thickwid, but I feel like an orange in a blender is.
But orange juice doesn't have the fibre that a smashed up orange would have.
That's true, because it sort of gets filtered out. I had a housemate called Luke, friend of the show. Hi, Luke, if you're listening. And I hate to, you know, drop him in it here. Drag his name through the mud.
Have his pants down live on air. Mug him off in front of his friends.
Mug him off in front of all of his friends. I hate to do that, Luke, but he used to sometimes steal my orange juice, my orange juice with bits in, and he didn't like bits in it. And he attempted once to filter my orange juice through
the cheek.
through a layer of kitchen roll.
Oh, God. Use a sieve, surely.
So he had kitchen roll and just poured it through. I think it was Bounty, you know, the strongest soaker upper of all.
Oh, yeah.
So it's most of it ended up in the Bounty anyway, you know.
Did it collapse in the end? Well, yeah, exactly.
I think it collapsed under the pressure in the end. I don't think the plan worked, but it was a sorry sight to catch him in the act.
So if I go out and have six pints of custard, which I would say is a yellow thickwid.
Yes.
And I get the train home, I'll probably be fine. I mean, I'll feel terribly sick.
I wouldn't be worried about pissing, mate. I'd be worried about shucking your guts up.
Okay.
I know alcohol's a diuretic, which causes you to wee-wee, but I don't know if custard is.
I see, yeah. But I think Matt's point is also, like, if I drunk six pints of water, it's not necessarily going to have the same effect as lager, but I'm still going to need to wee. I think it depends on the thickness and the viscosity, is that the word, John?
Yeah.
Of the thickwid.
Which is also a great biscuit.
I think thickwids are on a spectrum, a lot like sexuality or gender.
It's 2020, so perfect.
And you can go from very thin thickwids, such as orange juice, to very thick thickwids.
Thinwids.
You can have thinwids or just liquids, you might call them.
No, I'm talking about liquids that's thinner than water.
Yeah. Is there such a thing? Maybe.
Well, you can get stuff to make water wetter, can't you?
You can, John. Rain, for example. If it rains on a lake, does the lake get wetter? Yes. But just to finish my sentence, you can go from very thin thickwids or liquids to very thick liquids, such as, I think custard would be in that realm. So, and the point is that I'm going to make is somewhere on that spectrum, there's a tipping point where it goes from
a thickwid
to a solid.
Yeah.
And then you're talking, I suppose, hate to use the word, but poo.
A good example. You'll have to beep that, obviously.
I will do. I hate to use the P word on
numerodos,
here.
So.
Numerodos, of course. We like to say it in Spanish.
Because I was thinking sticky toffee pudding. Sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah.
The sticky toffee that goes on top. Is that a thickwid or is that a solid, John?
What, what do you mean? The sauce that goes on top of
the sticky toffee toffee.
That's a thick quid.
It is a
that's
thick quid.
That's a thick quid, surely. But, you know, some things, they're multi-state, aren't they? Because it starts off as so much of a thick quid, it's a solid. Mm. And then you add heat, you've got a thick quid.
An ice cube, the perfect example.
Mm, eventually
well,
turns into...
I feel like an ice cube goes from solid to thin quid. You know what I mean?
To liquid, yes. To liquid, I see what you mean, yeah.
Whereas, where I mean, like, if you got a load of toffee and gently warmed it.
Yeah.
You're getting thick quid all over the place.
I suppose chocolate's a good
exactly.
example.
Also, I think I've just remembered what the liquid that's thinner than liquid is, and it's a gas, isn't it?
I suppose would be the technical term. I suppose that's the complete end of the other spectrum.
Yeah.
It's gas, and then it goes liquid, thickquid.
Solid.
They should have this on menus. Guys, welcome to the show. John Patrick, how you doing, boy?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, lads? May I say, you're both looking very sexy today.
Thank
you. Because you're in a bit of low light there.
Mm. Yes, we are. For the listeners at home, me and Ryan are actually together recording this podcast, 1 meter apart, obviously.
Of course.
Because we've been working on something else. So it's a bit strange, actually.
It is. It's the first time you're back in the studio.
Seeing you in the flesh while recording this. I've been seeing you on a screen for, what is it? This is episode 33,
I think
now?
It's 23 weeks.
23?
Or 23 episodes since we last were together. John is still in his house over Skype, but Matt's actually in the studio today.
I feel bad because John doesn't get to see the wheel in flesh, but
we
will get to that. But I still want to introduce you, Ryan Howes. Welcome to the show and welcome back.
Well, no, not at
to
all.
To your house.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me back.
No, absolute pleasure. And I am Matt Skillington still.
Not sparkling.
Sparkling.
Absolutely. Yeah. And hello mainly to our fans, our terrible fans.
Yeah, terrible fans and just the listeners in general. First of all, kind of apologies. We missed a week last week. Mm. We hate to do it. I think it's the first time we've done it, but we did. Our lives got the better of us, you know, as lockdown's starting to lift. You know, I'm fingers crossed for a second lockdown so we can just really focus on the podcast again. Because jobs are coming in and
we've all been working together on a project, haven't we? Which is hilarious because we just spent about 8 hours on a Skype call.
Yeah.
at a 2 hour break, and then we've come back on to do this podcast.
Yeah. And the fact that you're saying we've been working for 8 hours is a very good point because this is our first ever, Matthew,
late night special.
It's a late night special.
Let me say, lads, you're both looking very sexy and you're like red light of that on air side.
Yeah, I mean, we are actually close to putting on our long ewes and hitting the sacks. but I was concerned that people wouldn't believe that this is a late night special. So we got some lagers in, didn't we?
We did, because we're not drinking lagers early in the day. It's not our style.
No, we're not drinking lagers in the day.
Nah, unless it's a breakfast beer, but that's a different
of
thing.
Of course, that's a different thing. And it is dark outside. The time is 8:38 at night.
My God.
20:38. It is very, very late.
So it's a late night special. So I must warn you, before you continue listening to this podcast, it is a late night special. So it might be a bit more risque than usual. And also we are drinking lagers. So if that's going to be a problem, you want to turn off now. Just to prove that, let's crack them open.
Anything could happen from this point in.
I'll give a shout out. If Big Wave Golden Ale want to sponsor us, it's one of my favourite ales. I love the design of the can. Ryan has supplied these for us. Mm. And I see John's gone for a classic Seldom Differ Cronenberg Standard.
Yeah. They did bring out a can once, didn't they, a few years ago, which was the Seldom Differ Cronenberg can.
Yeah.
Because we drink it and promote it so much.
Limited edition.
So if you got hold of one of them, congratulations. You might have had one. You didn't even know. You drunk it. You threw it away. You didn't realise. It's actually a collector's item.
Collector's item.
Now, I do have some listener letters.
Mm.
The postbox was icy this morning.
Freezing, I imagine, for them ice cold
really was.
Letters. That
it really was.
Please tell me you wore some gloves, Ryan.
I wore protective gloves. Of course I did. I didn't want to get frostbite from touching the letters.
Well, I was going to say, was it frost class? That sounded way better in my head.
frost class, or was it seckled class?
Yeah.
That's the worst thing I've ever said in my life.
It's not the worst thing you've said, it's just the worst joke.
We've had a sip of beer, guys.
We are pissed.
We're hammered.
Tell the truth, you lads have had two cans of lager each. Small cans, but...
No, you're right, John. To be completely honest with the listeners, we've had three small cans. Well, two. We've had two small cans, and this is our third small can. Thanks for dropping us in.
Well, I've not had any, because I was bathing my baby. I draw the line having a can of lager while I'm bathing
my child.
Well,
there's got to wet my baby's head.
True. It felt a bit too shameless, the TV show.
I've added flour into the lager to make it more of a thickwood, so I don't need the toilet. Oh,
God.
Let me tell you.
It is
disgusting.
Oh, that's a life hack if ever I've heard one.
Yeah, these people that aren't putting flour in their lagers when they're out drinking are idiots.
Oh, God.
You go to a festival, you're in a gig, you're in a big crowd, you can't get to the toilet. You should be putting flour in there, thicken it up, make it a food.
A lagery glue.
Turn it from a simple liquid to a thickwood.
Oh, I tell you something, if this episode wasn't going to be called the Late Night Special, lagery glue would be a pretty good one.
Anyways, as I say, I've got some ice cold letters. The first one came through the post, and it's from friend of the family, friend of the show, Caroline Bowman.
Oh, Caroline. Bowman.
I don't know what she's doing. I don't know if she sprayed it with some deep freeze spray or something, but it was still cold when it arrived
in
my post box this morning.
Yeah, well.
And it's come all the way from, I believe, Brighton.
That's what you get with ice cold letters, isn't it?
Yeah, but thank you so much for making it cold, and I'll read it out now. And she says, that does sound good to be on a T-shirt/sweatshirt. And I think that's a response to...
I believe she's referring to merch.
Merchandise, yes.
We're going to be wanting to be shifting some stuff at Christmas.
Of course we are.
And we asked the question, if we had that does sound good embroidered onto a T-shirt...
One of our sort of catchphrases, maybe.
Absolutely. Would it make sense? And what Caroline's getting is that she thinks it would sound good.
And it does sound good.
Would sound good. Would sound good.
And it will sound good.
Does sound good. Would sound good. I'm pissed.
And on that same note of Christmas, well, we can maybe announce now, could we? That although it is only September, it's looking very likely that we're going to release a Christmas single.
It does look that way.
We're going to release a Christmas number one.
Christmas number one.
Is what we're going to do. Terrible Christmas. With, friend of the family, friend of the show, and additional audio worker, producer, Luke Collins from Appley Bridge Studio. Has created a wonderful backing track for us, and we're going to work together. We're going to all work on it. We're going to make a Christmas single for Christmas.
Terrible Christmas.
Terrible Christmas. So that's something to look forward to. Bloody hell, it's cram-packed.
Of course it is. And we have one more letter, which is from regular friend of the family, friend of the show, regular terrible fan, and regular letter sender, Saul Midgar, who sent me a freezing letter.
Ice cold.
Yeah. But he did get in touch on Patreon, because I thanked him for his ice cold letters, and he said he's actually moved house recently, and his paper cellar, which I guess is like a wine cellar for keeping paper cool, he says the paper cellar was in the old house, so he's afraid that they're going to be tepid from here on out. Right. So the letters from Saul may warm up.
And has he sent a letter?
He has, and it's still cold.
It's still ice cold.
Because this must be from the old house.
Thank goodness.
Well, it's an ice cold letter, isn't it? By default.
By definition.
By definition, sorry, right.
And he says that he's been watching television.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
And he says he watched a very good anime at the weekend about a village where there was a well-to-do lady called Anne who would barter with every shopkeep and would always duck out when it was her round at the pub and refuse to spend money wherever possible. Eventually, the town had had enough of her thrifty ways and went to her house armed with pitchforks and torches. So I obviously had to reply to this and I sent a letter back that said, oh yeah, what was that called?
Yeah.
And he sent me another letter, which in fairness was a bit warmer.
Right.
Okay.
It was tepid, as he said.
Frosty tops or?
There was a sense that it was cold once.
Right.
But by the time I received it had warmed up a bit. And I think that's because of the new house he's in.
Fair enough.
He needs to get it all sorted out.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So no hard feelings about that.
Yeah.
And I said, and he said, God. We've had some lager.
It's the late night lock-in here, guys.
It's the late night special.
The late night special.
he said, it's called Attack on Titan.
Oh, that does sound good.
And I got out my pen and my pad and I wrote him a letter back and I said, on behalf of all of us,
what
I think
you'll agree.
What did you say, Ryan? I said, that does sound good.
Oh, well, I think that's fair enough.
And we're going to have that on a t-shirt for Christmas and that's a promise.
So that is a promise right there and then. We've said it. No going back.
Do you know what though, lads? I've actually had a bit of time in amongst all this bloody work we've been doing. I've had time to watch a movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was it about, John?
It's about a Victorian London-based sleuth who meets some Irish people who are surprised whenever they see a group of dwellings.
What was that called?
What was that called, John?
It was called Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, that does sound good. Sherlock Holmes, that's fantastic,
that
John.
That does sound very good. Ryan, have you been watching anything?
What, little old me?
Yeah, little old you, Ryan.
Not allowed to, is that you're saying?
My catchphrase. Carry on.
You can have little old me on a t-shirt for Christmas.
Yeah, part of the Matt Skills range. And he's heard nothing.
I've heard Georgia Asda might be bringing the range out. They might be behind it.
Well, obviously, I've got experience.
We've got contacts at Georgia. Me and Matt both once worked at Georgia Asda.
I always forget you worked at Georgia Asda as well, but it was after my
time.
Here's
something not that interesting. We probably cut it out. I worked at Georgia Asda, and so did Matt. Same Georgia Asda, but at completely different times.
And the interesting thing about that is we will cut it out.
Yes.
Future Ryan here, doing a bit of late night editing. It's going nowhere, that bit. I'm not cutting it. I should, but just to annoy John, I'm not going to. I'm cutting off my nose to spite my podcast.
Sorry, Ryan, did you catch anything?
Well, I've been staying up late this week in preparation for the late night special.
Yeah, just to prep the body,
Just to prep what it's like to be up at 8:30 at night, you know.
Yeah.
And I watched a movie. There was a movie on. I caught a movie late at night, and it was about a handsome British spy known by the code name 007, who has a romantic relationship with a pastry full of meat and gravy and seasonal veg.
Oh, yeah. What was that called?
What was that called?
It was called James Bond, The Pie Who Loved Me.
That does sound good.
I mean, it went off at about 10:30, 11:30, so I was knackered by the time. But
you're all right.
Well, I'm all right, yeah. I'm in the rhythm of it now. I've been in training for the late night special. What else can we do with the late night special? I suppose we can swear, we can fight.
Bollocks.
We can trumps.
Boom.
You can't think of one. John can't think of a spare word.
crap.
Oh, that's a bit much, John.
Let's have it right.
But Matt, have you watched anything on television this week?
Sorry?
Just wondering if you...
Me?
Yeah.
Little old me.
Little old you.
Little old tiny Tim me.
Little old tiny Tim you.
Well, actually, Housie, I'm glad. It's late night and I can call you your nickname.
Call me my nickname, yeah.
And Jay Sizzler.
And of course, Skills.
And Skills, yeah. Call me Skills tonight.
Oh, those are our alter egos. Whenever we do a late night special, we have to use our alter egos.
I'm sure this will be the last one. I was actually a little bit posh this week, lads.
Oh yeah,
I've got to be honest with you. It's been on my mind. I wanted to be honest with you, but I've actually read a book.
You've never.
Yeah.
You haven't.
Yeah.
Did you stay up late to do it?
Yeah. I had to stay up late to read this particular book.
Right.
But it was, absolute page turner. Sorry. it was a book about a cat that just couldn't die. Couldn't put it down. No. It was a, cut that. It's a book about Kermit. Yeah. And basically he creates a flying device that you can have, that you use mainly in parks and places like that, that you You get out when it's windy and you can fly this particular device, but the device swerves and smashes into these kids and breaks their pram, and everyone that's drinking with pots and stuff drop all their stuff and smash all their stuff. And it, God, I'm so sorry. It happened because Kermit was so angry.
Right.
That was
okay.
Why it happened. Kermit was so angry. I just remember now, I'm just thinking back to the book itself.
Kermit was so angry that he built a kite, and then
all disaster ensued after that. So yeah, it's good. Good book.
Sounds like quite a read.
Yeah. What was that called, Matt?
That was called The Furious Accident of the Frog During Kite Time.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
That does sound good.
Oh, God, I'm sweating for you, Matt. That seemed like a right mission to get that one out.
Matt, you're looking a bit hot there after describing that. That novel.
He was just bringing it all back, just remembering how much of a hard read it was.
Yeah.
You don't want just the title.
You're getting so hot and steamy in that room. It's that on air sign, the red on air sign. Guys, to our viewers, if you could see it now, they're bathed in a seductive red glow of the on air sign and pretty much nothing else.
That's right. We've got all the lights out in the studio except for the on air sign. A lot of people.
Listeners. Not viewers.
It's a good point, mate. It crossed my mind. I didn't want to say anything.
Did I say viewers?
No, it's the late night special. We'll have it right.
Actually, do you know what it was, John? Is I didn't want you to listen to this back and kick yourself.
Okay. Well, as I will often do.
And you thought, I'll kick him for him.
I'll kick you.
I'll kick him by going, listeners. Listeners up, viewers.
A lot of people have made the comment, why is the on-air sign inside the studio and not outside the studio? Well, it's because we want to see it, don't we? It looks cool.
It's true. Yes.
Well, is there any more business before we continue?
I mean, I just want to bring something that's been on my mind certainly recently. I mean, we've been talking a lot about Christmas and it's getting to that.
People it is September,
plans.
Isn't it?
You know, so people are making plans. We've got who knows what's going to happen. But I'm just thinking, what do you think Timmy Mallett does for Christmas?
Oh, it's a good question, John.
Great question. Great question.
You know, I'm trying to picture him sitting down for Christmas dinner. I've got him at a table eating Christmas dinner. Who's he with? Is he eating Christmas dinner? And who's he with? What's he doing? Where is
that? A mallet with a face on, surely.
No. A mallet with a face on.
Does he have that? Yeah, he's got a mallet with a face on. And
I think I picture him with a face on.
He's got the face on.
On his own.
Yeah, it's sad to say, but I agree.
What do you mean? Timmy Mallett with a face on? What do you mean?
Like, miserable.
Like he's got the face on.
Oh, got the face on. Sorry, I thought you meant he'd got a mask of his own face on.
Oh, wow, that's something, isn't
it? That'd be all right. Maybe from like a specialised box of crackers.
Yeah, and it's smiling, a big happy smile, but inside the mask, he's sad because he's alone at Christmas.
Yes, behind. He's putting on a mask.
Quite literally on this case, yeah. And maybe not. What's interesting is he always wears wild T-shirts, doesn't he? And he probably wears a Christmas jumper. Now, for most people, a Christmas jumper is the wildest thing they'll wear all year.
Yeah.
Whereas for Timmy Mallett, it's perhaps the most conservative with a small C.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
How do you picture him, John?
I don't know. I think I see him. I do just see him at a long table, decked out beautifully. Now, you'd be thinking he'd have a wacky day, but he's gone very conservative. He's gone beautifully finished. Decorations and everything, but it's just him.
This is the one day a year he doesn't have to act like Timmy Mallett. But this is the one day where
I think he has a few more days in the year where he doesn't have time. Like, well,
I suppose these days, yeah.
It's been the last 20 fucking years, pal.
It's a late night special. We're saying what other people are thinking, finally.
And there's got to be a wine there.
And that, I mean, absolutely. I'm sure he does wear, though, like it would be hilarious. Just a very conservative, like brown jumper.
I'd like to think so. Like, it's the one day he can be not crazy guy. One thing I will say about Timmy Mallet is, and it is quite in keeping with the late night special, we're drinking lagers. Did anyone ever see the series Johnny Vegas, 18 Stone of Idiot?
Yes.
Fantastic series. Raucous, wild, untethered, and crazy.
Yeah.
You might say. And he had a feature on that, which was called something like Johnny Vegas Celebrity Lock-In.
Mm.
When I say something like it was called exactly that. Yeah. And there was him and a bunch of celebs in a pub, and it was like, who could be the last man standing? So they're all drinking all night. Johnny Vegas can hold his beer. I mean, it's a mad format now that you thinking about it now, to be fair.
This was peak Johnny Vegas as well, to be fair. Like,
yeah, this is when he probably looks back at that quite ashamed. Like I heard him in an interview talking about it, and Johnny Vegas pissed himself on television because he was drunk during this thing, and it was a big joke in the show, but he actually did that. It's not very nice, is it?
Should have been drinking thickwids.
He should have dusted some flour into his beer.
That's a t-shirt.
But anyway, back to Timmy Mallet. Timmy Mallet was one of the celebs who took part in Celebrity Lock-In.
Oh my God.
Which I think it went on for hours and hours, and they showed like an hour each. Well, they showed one celebrity leaving each week.
It's a brilliant concept, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, wish I'd thought of it, but I didn't. The genius Johnny Vegas did. Now, not to drop names either, but I have met Johnny Vegas, and he's one of the nicest guys in the industry. When I did that small role on House of Fools, there was a bit at the end where they were sort of... Because if you remember House of Fools, the Bick and Bob show, it was in front of an audience, and they kind of like, similar to like Mrs. Brown's Boys and like Miranda and stuff, they made a point of the fact it was in front of an audience. And at the end, they showed the audience clapping and they showed the cast coming out, sort of taking a bow and stuff. And I'd say it was like a medium-sized part, but Johnny Vegas, he'd probably done a similar-sized part to me, but he's obviously Johnny Vegas. He's very well known. So when all the cast came out at the end, one of the floor managers came up to him and said, "Oh, Johnny, when they do the bows at the end, you come out and join the rest of the cast." And like at this point, I didn't know if I was coming out for a bow at the end or not. But Johnny said, "What about Ryan's bow?"
Ah, good lad.
Good what
lad. About Ryan's bow?
Yes.
And I was like, "Yeah, cheers, Johnny." And then the guy was like, "Oh, yes, of course. Of course, Johnny, of course, Johnny." And then Ryan, you can come and join Johnny on stage and you can take a bow as well. I didn't know. Not if you watch that episode, I didn't have a clue what I was doing during that bow. That's the funniest thing that I did in that episode was that bow, because I've just not got a clue what I'm doing. Just marching up and down like a fucking idiot. Anywho, no. This is going on and I'm really sorry.
No, it's fine.
God, no.
I need to get to the point of Timmy Mallet.
I was
on this celebrity lock-in with Johnny Vegas. So his agent's gone, "Timmy, do you want to be on this thing? It's like you go in a pub, you drink loads of beer, you get really drunk, and whoever's last man standing wins." And that's kind of the format. You up for it or not? And Timmy Mallet's gone, "Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm up for that. I'm up for anything. I'm Timmy Mallet. Wacky." And so he knows he must know what's coming. And then he gets there and he don't want to have a drink of alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
He asks for like, and I'm absolutely like happy with people. I don't like to be the kind of person who, like, if someone don't want to drink.
Yeah, being forced.
That's fine. Don't drink. That's absolutely fine by me. I think it's a very good thing in some ways. I wish I could go out and not drink. But to go on that format and then not want to have a drink of alcohol.
What?
It's a waste of time, isn't it?
So you're going to go for a lock-in with Johnny Vegas? All right, I just won't drink.
Yeah. I say what?
Exactly, Matt. I say what?
Did he leave?
It's like going on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and you don't like winning money.
Exactly, yeah. You know? Yeah, I'll take the money at 100, Chris, because I don't want any more money. he left. He was the first to leave.
I've never seen anything like it in my life.
I mean, the other angle would have been he'd won because he wasn't drunk, but he actually left first because he didn't like it, which is fair.
Oh, yeah, proper Mardy arse, weren't he? At rape face.
Speaking of face on, yeah. That's what reminded me. Anyway, that's that. But that's a good question, John, and thanks for asking it.
Yes, but...
you're welcome.
I think now we should... I'm in it here in the studio and I can... Well, I mean, I've not seen the wheel yet.
I bet you can smell it from there, though, can't you?
I can smell it. I can smell that rich, oaky smell. Mm. And a kind of smell of old cheap discos.
Yeah. You know, well, like, I mean, you built the wheel to begin with. It must be almost like coming home.
It is. Obviously, the blanket's over now, but this is the first time I'll have seen it in the flesh for, like you say, Ryan, how many weeks?
23 weeks. I mean, you did break in a few times to add things to the wheel.
I did break in, actually, but it was very dark.
But it was very dark, so you probably didn't see it.
So this is the first time I'm seeing it in the light.
Well, it's still quite dark. Well, it's like
this is the first time I'm seeing it with your consent.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Turned on with all the lights on and all the trimmings.
So just pull that gold silk cloth off there. Oh, look
Oh, my
that.
Goodness.
Isn't she lovely?
Just...
Now, something's changed, John. Can you guess what it is? Ryan whispered to me earlier, but can you guess what's changed? Do you notice anything different?
It's subtle.
It feels like, I don't know, maybe have you sort of changed the tone of the lacquer that's been used on it?
There you go. Nail on the head. Yeah. He's changed the tone of the lacquer.
You've taken it down a couple of notches. It's heading towards a beautiful rosewood colour.
That's right, John. You've got that.
You've got an eye for detail, John. I'll give you that.
You have.
It's getting thicker and thicker, the wheel, with the amount of layers that's going on here.
All the lacquer.
Sorry, my mind's just going, I'm thinking Halloween when we get all the spooky ghouls on the side of it, Christmas when we get all the glitter and the tinsel. It's just going to be glorious, but it looks fantastic, Ryan.
Also, for the late night special, of course, I've decorated it with...
pictures of Pamela Anderson. Don't think I didn't notice. Man, you've said it once, Ryan. You've said it before.
Sexiest girl in the world, bar none.
Sexiest girl in the world.
Bar none.
There's no other woman on this green earth that comes anywhere close to being as hot as Pamela Anderson.
Hands down, bar none. Sexiest woman in the world.
Anyway, I know what you're thinking, John. Does she still spin?
I'm worried every week.
I'm talking about the wheel. So I suppose there's only one way to find out. Count us in, then give us a spin.
1, 2, 3!
I'm having a great time.
I'm having a great time.
Ri-fi.
Wow. Before we continue with this, every time I hear the caveman 1, 2, 3 now, I always picture friend of the family, friend of the show, Luke Holder. I know he really enjoys that. And I can imagine him just a dry smile wherever he is every time he hears that. And that makes me happy.
Well, say, guys, just said during the spin there, but I don't know if it's picked up, but I must say, guys, I'm really enjoying this late night special. It's a real refreshing.
It's quarter past nine, by the way, guys. You can swear away if you want.
Can we?
Yeah, the balls are out of the bath on this one, aren't they? You feel more relaxed. There's no pressures. The man isn't on my back trying to tell me how to make a podcast. Oh, you started post nine.
Plop, I was going to say plop.
God. Bint. Cock.
Cheek.
That's too much.
It's too much, isn't it?
Yeah, that's too much. Cheek, like a bum cheek, but bum cheek.
Bum cheek's good. Bum cheek's good, yeah.
Fanny.
Ooh. Wow.
Too much?
Depends. Is it the American fanny or the British?
No, I meant minge.
Yeah, that's too much.
Okay, so
Ri-Fi. I'm getting a bleeding hard on here.
Hard on. Boner. Stiffy. Don't hear that too often, do you? Oh, I've got a stiffy. I mean, why would you be saying that? But
if you've got one, you want to tell me.
I suppose
people.
You never really say, I've got a hard on, do you? Really? Unless you. I suppose if you're sexting or something, as these kids do nowadays, I hear. Not. Kids, but people of consenting
young
ages.
Young people,
thank you. The people spreading all the...
The kind of people spreading the disease.
Yes. political joke that won't be fuck off. Hot. It's hot. It's tasty.
I'm getting warm now.
You don't... Yeah. You know, let's move over the hard-on talk and let's get back to the spinning question, which was... Ri-Fi. Now, this was a feature that came off the back of terrible titles, in which you send us a title and we have to make a feature based around that title. So please, guys, I've got to tell you, you may have forgotten, but do send them in. Text them, ice cold letters, email. What else, Ryan?
Twitter, Instagram messages.
John, what else can they get contact us via?
Uh, int- Instagram message?
Instagram. You could Instagram message it.
I said that, but yeah.
But the one oh, did you? Pigeons.
I don't know.
But yes, and this feature came off the back of that. It's called Ri-Fi. And shall we hear the jingle and get stuck in?
Yeah. This jingle's great for a late night as well.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
got a real disco, late night disco vibe, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Connected.
What's this band called?
Ri-Fi. Pet Shop Boys.
Very Pet Shop Boys vibe, yeah.
Ri-Fi, Ri-Fi, what's the probs? Ryan needs Ri-Fi to do all his jobs. He's all talk and no trousers. He needs to close some of those browsers. He's a slim guy with a broadband. Control, Alt, Delete with one hand. With one hand. Ri-Fi, Ri-Fi, what's the probs? Ryan needs Ri-Fi to do all his jobs. Ri-Fi, Ri-Fi, Ryan needs Ri-Fi to do all his jobs. To this media. Bad connections. Get beat up. You are connected to Ri-Fi.
So, Ryan, have you had any internet troubles of late?
Yes. The other day, in fact, you were there. We were trying to have a meeting with John via Skype. And I was trying to get his sound to come out of a different device to just the computer. And I initially tried connecting him to my Bluetooth speaker, but that didn't work. So then I tried just to connect him to the television so we could hear him through the television and turn the volume up on that, which worked for us, but he could hear like a dit, 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 or some kind of sound like that. And we couldn't for the life of us work out what it was. And then John suggested, oh, maybe the Bluetooth speaker is still trying to connect. And that was the case. Yeah, I turned off the Bluetooth speaker and then it was fine after that.
And luckily it wasn't your Wi-Fi.
It wasn't a Wi-Fi connection in the end. It was just an issue with the Bluetooth speaker.
Brilliant.
Ri-Fi, Ri-Fi, what's the probs? Ryan needs Ri-Fi to do all his jobs. He's all talk and no trousers. He needs to close some of those browsers. He's a slim guy with a broadband. Control, Alt, Delete with one hand. With one hand. Ri-Fi, Ri-Fi, what's the probs? Ryan needs Ri-Fi to do all his jobs. Ri-Fi, Ri-Fi, Ryan needs Ri-Fi to do all his jobs. To this media. Bad connections. Get beat up. You are connected to Ri-Fi.
It really is a late night jingle, that, isn't it? The Pet Shop Boys vibe there.
It's certainly a lot.
Now, as it's a late night special and we are drinking lager, Matt's just taking a little break to use the bathroom, and I think I'm going to do the same. Sorry to say.
Maybe I will.
We are back now. Ryan and Matt are back. John's still out at the toilet, but it is a late night special. The toilet is going to be used because the fact is we haven't been thickening up our liquids enough.
Yeah, and I told you, you need to. That's the one thing I learned, is just keep thickening your liquid. You can also use, I know some of you maybe not of the idea of using flour, but you can use corn flour as well.
Yeah, of course, that'd be a good thickener, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Or for the guy, for the people who like hotter food, you can use mustard powder.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh,
and you get
God.
A very hot. You get a very hot thickwood there.
A hot, thick lager.
But there's other stuff you could definitely use. Couscous, for example.
We fridged up some more lagers, ready for the second half of the pod.
Yeah.
Should have really fridged them at the start, but
I haven't got any more lagers.
It's our first late night special, isn't it? So,
but yours is quite a big can, isn't it, at least?
It's true. I've finished it now.
I believe you now. Did you have one in the fridge just begging from a random night?
Just had one in the fridge.
I was going to say, because it's not like they took it up leading job, get this old one bastard can.
Well, my local won't do single cans.
And good.
Good for them.
Good for them.
And I'm begging them. I'm in there and going, please, do singles again.
I've only got enough for one can. Please.
And a small bag of flour.
Even though you could just use your toilet at home. Oh, no, because you drink that one can on the street. So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the next spin of the wheel? Because it is getting late. I mean, we've started late, so it's even later than usual.
I'm in bed.
Yes, I'm ready.
I'm asleep. I'm just going through my REM. This is a dream that I'm doing. And people say you can't do, you could do podcasts in his sleep. I'm doing it now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So there you go, Dad.
At this stage, 33 episodes in, he's literally doing it in his sleep.
So let's spin the wheel. Let's spin the wheel, see what terrible feature we have next.
Let's know. Do we seem drunk or is it just in our heads?
I'm not sure. I think it's excitement as well because it's like having a sleepover, and it's got that you know, you used to have sleepovers as kids.
Giddy.
We've actually not recorded one in a while because, of course, we missed last week. So I'm just buzzing to be back on the scene with you guys.
And
the fact that it's a late night special is just, oh my goodness.
Arc de Triomphe.
Arc de Triomphe, exactly.
Of course.
Clip and with it.
Not sure. I think we've had one on the bonus podcast. If you are a Patreon supporter, you would have heard that. But I'm not sure we've had a clip and with it in a while.
Maybe not on the main pod. Yeah, I'm not sure. The last one may have been the caveman that we got. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I'm thinking. I just need to count to three and maybe I'll remember it.
One, two, three!
I remember the one. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, clip on with it. Shall we just have the jingle? That kind of explains all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I found something on the internet. I want to share it with my friends. The chances are they've seen it before, because we've got similar algorithms. I found something on the internet. I want to share it with my friends. The chances are they've seen it before, because we've got algorithms.
Oh, you sent it me? Oh, yeah, of course you did.
So, yeah, it's clips that we've found on the internet we want to share with each other. It's very possible we've seen them before. Maybe even you've seen them before.
Similar algorithms.
Because us and our terrible fans probably all have similar algorithms. But this one came from, I was back in Sheffield.
Thank you.
And my mom has found in the attic my autobiography.
Wow.
So I wrote when I was, I think, 11 years old, my autobiography up to that point. Maybe you did it too, Matt.
In English,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I think maybe I'll read some extracts from it potentially over the coming weeks. I was kind of hoping it'd be more humorous. It's quite sincere, a lot of it, but...
you were very sincere, kid.
But, you know, I never had a wacky email address, for example. You know, that's the kind of kid I was.
I had, of course, matrix_no1@hotmail.com. That's matrix, like matrix, but with two T's.
Anyway, one thing that caught my eye was my plan for the future.
So you're 11 years old at this point, right? Am I correct?
I'm 11 years old and I've written chapter 10. This is the last chapter in the book. So it's a bit of a spoiler, but because I might go back and read about the previous years of my
22
life.
22 years ago. Right
22
now,
years ago, I planned for my future. And what's quite sweet with this is, because my nan read it and she said, now read at the end all the stuff you wanted to achieve. And I think you've achieved it.
Aww.
Is what my nan said. So,
did you write you want to do a podcast? Wait, lads.
Funny enough.
Well, sorry, go on, Ryan. You read it. Let's do this.
Well, I'll just read everything of my chapter 10, my future. So, my future, as written by me at 12 years old, 11 years old, 2003, leave school with O levels. Yeah, reasonable, but I mean, they were still called GCSEs then, so I don't know what I was talking about then. Why would I put O-levels? Maybe my mum and dad were helping with it, and they've called them O-levels. 2004, start college, study the arts, in brackets, which is sort of what I did. I studied media BTEC, which is in the realm.
Yeah.
2007, leave college with A-levels. Fine, I got a BTEC. Yeah. 2006, start university. And then in brackets, here's where things start to take a turn. Study drama or interior design.
Ooh.
So I'm forgetting, I used to be mad on interior design as a kid.
Wow, you wouldn't think it, would you? Looking at your room now.
Exactly. Like, I think it would have been a bad path for the world of, oh, maybe not. 2012, leave university with a degree in interior design. So by this point, I've decided, no, I do want to do interior design, because in 2006, it was drama or interior design.
Yeah.
And now I'm purely leaving university in 2012 with a degree in interior design. And then 2013, get a job in interior design.
Wow. Okay.
So I was very keen to be involved in interior design. 2015, get a job on a program like Changing Rooms or Homefront. This was my ambition. to be like a Llewellyn Bowen style character, I guess.
What? In year seven? You were in year seven when you wrote this?
Yeah. I was just being mad on Changing Rooms.
But you've always been quite dry. Do you think you were having a lull even at this point?
No, because I remember when I'm reading it, I have the memory of, oh yeah, I wanted to be an interior designer because I liked Changing Rooms. But also like, so I'm aiming for, I want to be like on telly, but in an interior design role.
Yeah.
And then 2055, so this is the actual future from now, retire into a fair-sized bungalow in the country.
Oh, my God.
Fair-sized bungalow. So it's called so fair-sized.
Dream big, Ryan. Dream big, pal.
I've had a lovely career. Decorating houses on the television.
What's your dream job? Assistant manager.
Yeah. Anyway.
And you weren't mental at that guy for doing what at university?
Oh, what? Hotel management.
Hotel management. Yeah.
But the fact is, I didn't do this in the end. I changed my mind before it...
Did you not... Wait, when you said... Was this a joke when you said that your nan had said she thinks you'd achieved it?
No, she said it very very sincerely. And I read that stuff you wanted to do at the end. And I think you've achieved it all, Ryan. It's a very sweet thing to say, but it's just not true.
Oh, my.
No offence, Nanny, if you're listening. So this got me thinking about Changing Rooms, and I was thinking about the sort of funny, terrible, disastrous rooms that I might have created if my dreams had come true for some members of the public.
Dumbfounded. I don't think that's even the right word. I'm shocked.
And
cute, though. It's very cute.
I mean, the cutest thing is the ambition to retire into a fair-sized bungalow in the country. Yeah. That's lovely, isn't it?
You're not greedy.
No.
Fair-sized bungalow.
Yeah, because you don't want stairs at an old age, do you?
No, also bungalows for, you know, if you're doing interior
design.
And
it would be designed very well, probably by myself. Anyway, it got me thinking about these, you know, disastrous home makeovers. And I was looking through some and I found one that's actually not from Changing Rooms, but it was like, this is the worst reaction ever sort of thing to a home makeover. And it was a show called Your Home in Their Hands. Do you think you guys might have seen this?
Your Home in Their Hands.
And basically, I think they give their home to a like amateur interior designer trying to make a name for themselves, and they do up their room or something. So I'm going to play the clip of the guy's reaction. It's a couple who've had their bedroom redesigned. And they've had a few other rooms in the house done too, but the bedroom is the one that the guy really hates. And try and describe it. It's just very busy. It's yellow, but it's not just yellow wallpaper.
I've seen it.
It's yellow floral
I'd
wallpaper.
I'd describe it as a jester's handkerchief.
Yes, very good, John. It's like a jester's handkerchief. Just stuff everywhere, sort of circusy themed stuff stuck on the wall and things like this. Is too much, really.
Did you buy it off them?
Yeah. I loved it, but I designed it. This is the thing I'm getting to.
And he lives there now.
I was the designer.
You're not number eight.
I'm still secretly trying to become an interior designer on the sly. Let's get to the point and play the clip from the show.
100%.
What do you think, Rachel? You've got your colour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I like the wardrobes and...
No, it's too much. For me, it's too busy. I wouldn't have done anything like it, and I don't like it. You're supposed to be able to go to sleep in a bedroom, and it's like a kid's play area. I think it looks horrendous. It doesn't look anything like your bedroom. So, sorry, but it's big thumbs down from me. It's hideous. I think it's even too much for Rachel if she was to tell the truth.
Is it Rachel?
I like the bed and the wardrobes. Oh, I like the theme of it.
So overall, you quite like it.
Oh, yeah. God.
It's rank.
I like the lights.
Don't like it at all.
It's rank.
Yeah. Definitely not.
I think Rachel likes it though, John. I know you're telling her she doesn't, but I think she does.
I'll leave it to her.
Rachel's but you're answering for her. I haven't heard much out of Rachel's mouth, actually. Come on, Rachel. Well,
I think it'll grow on us. I do like the bed and the wardrobes. I did ask for colour.
If Rachel likes it, yeah, so be it.
And so if Rachel likes it, can you keep it the same?
Not for long.
So you were going to accept what Rachel wanted, and you said if she's happy, that's fine. So what you're actually saying now is it isn't fine.
Drunk. Horrible.
I think she's got to be heard.
Is that the presenter?
Nah. Yeah. Sorry. It's not for me.
So what message would you have for the designer?
Don't touch the other room.
Right.
We took a chance when we handed the keys over. And she's done colour what I asked for. Might grow on you.
Fungus grows. That's horrible.
Oh, God.
Fungus grows and that's horrible.
He wasn't a fan of that, was he?
The thing that stood out there was that the presenter was really trying to twist and turn the words, I felt and really put words in
Rachel's
mouth.
That's what I was saying, is she the presenter or the designer? Because she felt more furious. That was really odd.
Yeah, awkward.
It's because they'd have gone, if they say they don't want it, we've got to give them the money back or something.
So
you say you're going to keep it, you're going to keep it.
Yeah. When she's like, I like the bed and the wardrobes. Well, that's what you had before.
Also, the thing is with that kind of stuff, it's like, you can get annoyed and go, oh, that's horrible. Don't touch the other rooms and all that. But then also, you've literally given your keys over to a designer that probably hasn't done much before.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
obviously
the show is what it is.
So you
take that risk.
Exactly, yeah. It's true. There's a classic one, isn't there, with Linda Barker, where she makes the sort of hanging shelf unit where she's got a few planks of wood and she's had Andy, the guy who I hope to work with one day. They've got him to put some metal wire or something between the planks and they're all dangling down and they put this lady's best pots or whatever, very heavy, and also lots of books on this hanging thing. And you don't see it on camera because they're not filming at the time. You just hear a smash and they have to go through to another room and find that all the pots have smashed and it's her best stuff. And there's tears, basically.
God.
And Linda Barker's like, I'll take full responsibility for this. It's all my fault. And it's like, of course it is. There's no question.
Because she'd actually been
the way changing rooms used to work was two sets of friends would swap houses and then decorate each other's house.
Oh, yes.
So it was like the friends of the person who could be blamed for it technically, but Linda was like, nah, that was my decision. You just wanted some shelves and I made us do that, you know.
Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen always felt like he photocopied plates.
He would photocopy plates.
That was always a big one, weren't it? And stick them on the wall and they'd look shit.
Yeah, and it's a great effect.
It is a really good effect. Well, Ryan, what I take away from clipping with it today for me, a wonderful clip.
Yeah.
Always like that kind of stuff, even though I find it really difficult to listen to.
I mean, that show, I seem to remember that Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen was like being interviewed and someone said, what's the inside of your house like then? And I was like, oh, it's like Magnolia, pretty normal. you know what I mean?
He
loved doing those crazy things, but I was like, oh God, no, never, not in my house.
Absolutely. But the biggest thing I've taken away is listening to your autobiography.
Yeah.
That's been the real win for me. This evening, actually. The idea that you've written a fair-sized bungalow.
Yeah.
I think but when you say fair size, you mean like quite a big size? Like, oh, yeah, that was a fair size.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Or do you think it was a fair size? As in, not too big, you know, quite moderate.
I think I'm quite reasonably large.
A large
bungalow in the country, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's still a modest dream, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, mate, if any of us can bloody buy some property at any point in his life, you know what I mean?
We'll be lucky.
So, I might read some more extracts from my autobiography as written by me at 11 or 12.
I think it's weird though, isn't it? Because I'd love to find mine as well. Because there's something quite upsetting about it in a way, the naivety, and also the idea of picturing 2013 even at that age.
Yeah.
Just like, well, it's never going to get to that. And here we are now, old as fuck.
Well, I'd say, to be honest, that sort of melancholic feeling is probably more appropriate to that, literally that chapter I just read, which is talking about the future, not knowing what the future holds.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
the rest of it is... What's interesting, though, was when I was reading my autobiography back, and as I was just saying, I might read some more extracts from it, was there was stuff in it that I'd forgotten, but it was like I was 11 writing about when I was 6, and obviously that's much more recent when I'm 11, and there's a lot of detail and there's things that I've now forgotten I did when I was 6 that I remembered I did when I was 11. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
well, because it had only been 5 years.
And then it comes flying back, you know, when you're reading that. It's
well, I've occasionally written, I'll just find in the masses of, you know, we've all got loads of notebooks and that of jokes and gags and that, but sometimes I'll just have written a day and gone, oh, I could start a diary. I'll just start it here and just write a day. And it's quite a detail. And I go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Loads of stuff that you just, it would just never come back to
you. Would you say you're a diary starter, John? A twisted diary starter?
Lads, I know we've all been away to get
a new feature.
you guys have been away to get a lager, but just have a listen to this.
Oh, what is
that's
it?
That's a whiskey.
Very nice. Very late night.
What are you using? Corn flour or starch powder? washing powder? What's your thickener, John?
Now you won't. It's gelatin.
Oh, great. Use of making a liquid into a thickwid.
Right, I'm going to crack my fourth can of the day.
Legend.
And I'm just going to sprinkle a little bit of self-raising. Just some self-raising. Yeah. Oh, it's frothing over.
Yeah, that's the thing with self-raising.
Yeah.
It's a good thickener though, Ryan. That will definitely stop you going to the toilet. listen, guys, geez, Louise's. We should probably spin the wheel again because it's
lads, did you hear about the flower that had no parents and had to bring himself up by himself?
No. What was that, John?
That was self-raising.
Well.
Were you just saying something there, Matt, about the wheel?
Sorry, Matt, what were you
saying? No, it's fine, John. I'm just wondering.
Yes, I was just saying we should probably spin the wheel. Just because it's, you know, it really is getting to that time where, I'm already asleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm actually, this is a dream to me, so
I hope... my alarm's gone off and it's the morning. Yeah, that's how late it is.
We're getting pretty
late.
I'm
on my way to work right now on the tube, and I'm dialing in from there.
How does that make sense then? let's spin that wheel. Wowzers. Wow.
Talk about Blast from the Past.
Talk about Blast from the Past. Quite well fitted, really, isn't it? Old legend. Yeah. A legendary old feature that's not been on for quite some time.
It's true. No. It's only had one outing.
One outing.
Jace's. And I hope you don't mind me as it's late night.
No,
special.
I don't mind calling you that skills.
Jace's. I was telling Owsy earlier, one thing, old legend, actually, because we were talking about old legends, funny enough. And I thought, do you know what's upsetting that I've not heard that come back on the wheel? Is that it's got a lovely, lovely jingle.
It has, hasn't
it's
it?
I'm looking forward to that jingle as well as listening and learning from whatever you've got lined up.
Absolutely. I'm half worried that the first half of the jingle is going to send me to sleep because it's so relaxing and nice. But then I know that the second half is going to wake me back up and get me pumped for the rest of this late night special.
Absolutely.
Shall we play it?
Old legend with something to say. He's got a story to tell from back in the day. He's that old legend. His story's for you, and hopefully it's at least partially true.
Lovely jingle there. Lovely jingle.
Yeah.
Ah, forgot about that, really.
Jace, yeah. Take it away.
Well, let me tell you, lads. You know me, and you know last time was before the lockdown. I'd chatted to this guy in the pub who told me about being a steeplejack.
Yeah.
Well, this time I've been back into a bloody pub, Anna.
Of course you
in
have,
the
yeah.
garden, oh, obviously, in the beer garden. Garden. Yeah, but yeah, I got yeah. chatting to this guy, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And it turns out he'd worked on the River Thames.
Mm.
And, he sounded quite similar to the other old legend guy that I've spoken to. But
old guys do sound very similar.
They do sound very similar. Almost identical.
Yeah. Especially if you're playing them both.
I just asked if I could just record a little conversation that I'd had with him. And so here it is.
So this is John talking to an old legend who used to work on the River Thames.
Hi, I'm here with Ray Goodman. Hi, Ray. Tell me about yourself.
Well, I was a river cleaner on the Thames, wasn't I? I'd go up and down the river, pulling the detritus out of the river, you know. Anything that might block the way for boats coming through. Nowadays, of course, it all gets pulled into sort of filter system, hangs off the back of boats. But back then, of course, we had to chuck a spear or grapnel at whatever we wanted to pull out of water to try and pierce or grapple onto it.
Right, and what is it you'd usually find?
Ah, you know, usual stuff that ends up in a river. Tyres, big bits of wood, false Frenchmen.
What? What's a... Oh, I shouldn't have had this whiskey. What's a false Frenchman? Is that a kind of fish?
No, let me explain. Well, back in those days, if there were a boat flying French colours, flag on river, and it was to have a man overboard, it was the law that no one was allowed to offer any assistance. Now, often the French crew wouldn't notice the poor bloke in water, and he'd be left to drown or swim to shore, where he would, of course, be shot. Now, a false Frenchman is where English criminals, often gangsters, who wanted to do away with someone would hire a boat, take it out with their unsuspecting victim on board, and then as they got to Midlet River, they'd quickly hoist up the French flag and kick him into river. Then obviously he'd drown or be shot as a Frenchman.
God, and then what? You, I guess you'd have to collect them. It must have been traumatic.
Why? The French?
Well,
not the one. Legally, they were French.
Amazing. And when were you working on the river?
The 90s.
Right. And was it generally a clean river back then?
It varied, of course. If you were up near Richmond, first thing in the morning, you'd see this beautiful layer of crust on top of water. On a sunny day, you could see the fish trapped in that crust. We called them jellied nightmares. I remember one lag, he got it in his head to take one out and eat it.
Gosh, and how did it taste?
He didn't tell us, just collapsed into a coma.
So it was quite a dangerous job then?
Well, I mean, we had us life preservers on, which were inflated seal skins. It were a bit of a rite of passage, you know. You catch your own seal, humanely kill it, and use the hide as, you know, we'd use the other body parts for gloves, we'd use tendons for twine, you know.
Right, so did you catch the seals in the Thames? I didn't realise there were any.
No, we'd go to the aquarium. Yeah, we've got a long-standing feud with him. It was all in good fun, though, you know. Yeah, they were right next to the river, so we'd nick their seals, and to get us back, they'd drop the dead sharks in the river. Once, though, we did have a bit of a problem. Well, you know, my team were doing early shift, and we were plodding along upriver towards Chelsea. Now, I'm at Elm, and I get a message come through saying, aquarium breakout, octopus in river. Now, as I went out to go and tell lads to keep an eye out, this giant tentacle comes over the side of the boat and grabs Larry by his arm. We looked over the side and we see this horrible big octopus face just underwater. Larry sees what's going on, and I'll never forget it. He goes to me, he goes, "I'm not being eaten by a bloody squid. I'll effing show it who's getting it." And he jumps over the side and onto that octopus. And well, it must have got shock of its life because Larry starts biting chunks out of it. We're eating octopus sandwiches for a while after that, as you can imagine. Audible. And that's it, really. That's simple life. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. That's brilliant. And that was it, yeah. So
he does sound like an interesting chap,
yeah,
actually. And I feel like I know the area of the Thames, just opposite the Sea Life Centre, if it was the 90s, yes, as well, it's probably open there on the Thames, where they probably would have nicked the seals from.
Yeah, that's an amazing story of 90s London, isn't it? It's a different world back then, wasn't it?
It's a different world, isn't it? It's a different time.
Mm.
The past is a foreign country. They do things differently there.
That's lovely, John. That's lovely.
That. And I've got to say, octopus sandwiches sound horrendous.
Well, it depends, doesn't it? Because calamari's nice, and isn't that simply an octopus?
Brian, do you know what? I take my trousers off and I kneel before you for an apology and to say, do you know what? Maybe you're right.
That's you apologising to me.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you're right. Calamari is...
It's squid, isn't it? But
is done well and nice.
Mm.
Octopus sandwiches. It's more the bread that upsets me about that scenario.
Quick question, though. Is calamari actually nice?
Oh, it's beautiful. From my point of view, it's one of my favourite starters.
Is it because it's just something fried in breadcrumbs?
Absolutely, John. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And they're salty.
So you could be onion rings, for example.
Yeah, you could take out the bit that's...
Yeah.
Okay. Like the meat of it, I suppose, and just give me the...
take out the sea life.
Yeah, and just give me the salty, peppery... spicy batter. And
when I was younger, I wondered how you got a calamari ring. I thought, what did they get a tentacle and tie it in a knot and like make it into a circle? But that's not it, of course. It's the bell of the squid they cut.
Is it the knob?
It's the bell end.
Bell end.
We can say bell end. It's past 9 p.m.
It's 9 p.m. We can say bell. I don't know if we say bell end. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can say bell end.
Let's talk to our legal team.
Okay, we'll talk to legal about that. Yeah.
Talk to legal.
I always thought it was the belts of squids that you were eating.
Lovely, cinching little tight belts they have.
So is it not this, though? Because I thought it was this. Like, you get a tentacle and you chop it into pieces. It's not. It is that.
No.
Oh. I don't quite know what it is then. You're saying it's the bell, John?
So it's like, you know, a squid's... imagine a squid is two parts. You've got the top bit, which is its head, and then the bottom half, which is its legs.
Yeah.
Oh, this has got to be a winder!
Legs? They've got legs?
Tentacles, then.
Okay.
Hey, lads, what's a plural of octopus, just quickly?
Octopi.
Technically, should be octopodes. So there you go.
Octopodes, no.
Oh, this has got to be a wind-up.
No, what I'm saying, Ryan, is you cut the tentacles off and it leaves you with the head, which is like almost hollow. Well, it is hollow. And you cut that top bell part and that's where you get the squid rings because it's like, like hollow. So when you cut it, you end up with a ring of flare.
Don't know about all that.
An octopus has bells and rings.
I don't know about that
an
at
octi-
all.
I've literally forgotten what you just...
Octopus. But the octopuses is fine. But if it was many octopus, it would be octopodes, apparently.
Octopodes. Octopodes, bell ends and arse rings.
Hey, you can tell it's a late night special. We're surrounded by empty cans and we're talking about all sorts of rude things.
Mm.
It's fantastic.
Some of those cans are custard though, aren't they? Because we need a...
Yes, of course.
I don't want to be urinating throughout this. Well, it was a lovely to hear from your old fella there, John.
Ray, he was called. It was
Ray,
called.
Sorry, Ray. Great to hear from Ray. And great to hear from that feature again.
Very nice. Yeah,
so,
indeed.
So much so.
I wonder if it was the same man with a moustache on. He's winding me up.
You never know.
It's an old man, so he's probably lived a long life in lots of different things. So it could be.
That would be a better way to do the feature, yeah.
Unless...
like, what else has he done?
Yeah, all right. I'll
just,
bear that
just a man that's lived many a life.
Because I feel like he was he worked on the churches quite a long time before the 90s, so...
Mm. I guess so, yeah.
And it would be nice to have this character return. You know, you look forward to that particular character. Ryan, have we got time for another spin of the wheel? I know it's late. I mean...
I think it's too late. I mean, it's almost 10 p.m. now.
Right.
That is late, in fairness.
Yes.
I'm getting tired. I need to go to bed.
Yeah.
Quick as possible. Mm. So no more time for any more spinning. But I think we should probably do like the admin and to make it a bit more, you know, palatable than just saying the admin. Mm. Perhaps we should sing the admin.
Oh, why not?
Do you think you're warmed up for it?
I could do with a little bit of a warm up.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Have you got anything for us, John, today?
I've got a little tongue twister for you. And you really need to get your tongue loose for this one. All right. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Peter Crouch's couch is lower than his legs allow.
Oh, wow. Fuck me.
That's lovely.
Go on, Ryan, you go for it.
Peter Crouch's couch is lower than his legs allow. Mm. Crap, though, weren't it, really?
But faster.
Peter Crouch's couch is lower than his legs allow.
Couch is lower than his legs allow.
Oh, that's good. Did you feel your mouth getting warm then? I can.
It's red hot, yeah. Hot.
Right, I can see that pile of letters and it's starting to melt, so be
it
careful.
Is, yeah.
Mm. Well, I think I'm... Any more tongue twisters, John?
That was the only one I thought
okay,
of.
Okay, no, that's warmed up, though, fine by me. I'm warmed up. Let's have a sing song. Here we go.
So this is the song about our Patreon, which we'd love you to donate to. Become a Patreon. And this song explains all, I think. So shall I count us in? Or do you want to do that this time?
Absolutely, yes. And one, a two, a...
One, two, three!
Four. All right, here we go, lads.
Here we go.
Let's be serious.
Half cup. Got karaoke now.
Here we go.
Podcast looping nuts are we, making podcasts all for free. But if you'd like to help us too, then this is what you ought to do. On the website Patreon, followed by a.com.
/ is the next bit.
They seldom differ, and that's it. Podcast looping nuts are we, making podcasts all for free. But if you'd like to help us too, then this is what you ought to do. Sign up to us and then
pay us £1, £3, £5 or £10. Bonus podcasts worth the fuss,
appreciated by us.
Hey, Ryan, you're coming on leaps and bounds.
I don't know if it's just, you think you can sing better when you've had a few beers, don't you?
Yeah. It's true, yeah.
So I don't know if it's just that.
People
but...
are more encouraged to do karaoke and stuff like that. And
could just be that.
But
you think it's good?
Yeah, absolutely. And John, again, just keeping that standard. That
yeah.
Quality. Oh, thanks, mate.
Yeah, you guys sounded great. Yeah.
It really is good stuff. And yeah, of course, what we should say is to our Patreon subscribers that already exist, Thank you very much.
Thank you so
much. And
I'll
hand you over to Ryan Howes, who will name but a few more Patreon subscribers. Is that correct, Ryan?
Butter
uno is better than nodos.
Nodos. So we have this week, thank you to our latest patrons, our latest friends of the family, friend of the show, and our latest terrible fans. It is friend of the family, friend of the show, George Herzog Jung. Thank you so much, George.
Thank you, George.
Thank you very much, George. Your badge will be on its way. The first set of badges were posted, what day is it today? Last week, was it? Is it?
Yeah, it wasn't long ago, was it? I think a few days back.
Was it this week I posted them? Monday?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe, I can't remember. But people have already started getting their badges, their mounted badges, obviously collector's item and very unique collectible. But seriously, if you're already a Patreon fan, thank you very much. I hope you're enjoying the bonus content. And if you're not, then you know how to sign up. And if you don't, we'll tell you again at the end of this podcast.
Of course we will.
So no time for another spin. Have we got time for a who's at the door?
Let me just check. Yes.
Okay, let's hear that jingle.
Who's that? Who's that? Who's at the door? Who's that? Who's that? Who's at the door? Who's that? Who's that? Who's at the door? It's a mystery.
Okay, so who is at the door this week?
Oh my God.
Can I hear it one more time, please?
Absolutely, one more time. You can hear it. Ryan Howes, who's at the door this week?
Is it Wall-E, the Pixar robot?
That's a fucking good guess.
Thank you.
Wall-E.
That's the one.
Can you do the impression of Wall-E?
Wall-E.
John?
Eve.
Brilliant. John Patrick Sizzler.
Yes.
What? Who's at the door this week?
It's Liz White, who played Annie Cartwright on Life on Mars.
That is a pretty good guess, actually, John. I think you're actually in the right ballpark and close with the name. But close. I'm afraid you're both wrong this week.
Oh, shit.
It was actually Les Battersby.
Wow.
Yeah. But Liz, very close. Mm.
It's a shame, that was isn't it?
Maybe it's a shame we can't let him in. And I think he actually needed somewhere to stay tonight. So,
poor bastard.
But unfortunately, I can't let him in because neither of you guessed it. So have it on your heads.
He would have loved to come in here for a late night special, wouldn't he, old Les Battersby?
I tell you something, if you'd have got it right and we got him in, I'd have stayed on for another hour.
Me too.
And done another.
I'd have spun the wheel again. Lads?
I don't think. Excuse me, lads. I don't think it would have been good for him, though, lads. Do you know what I mean?
You don't think what, sorry, John?
I don't think a late night special would be good for Les. You know, he needs a safe space. He needs somewhere to come down safely.
I'll tell you something, though. He's one of the few men that I've seen pull off double denim.
Yeah. And a leather waistcoat on top of that.
What a look. Right, when Coronation Street were good.
Les Battersby was one of those characters who, in real life, not on Coronation Street, in real life, would swear. If that was a real person, he'd be swearing his head off. He'd be fine tonight on the late night special on here. We'd be allowed swearing on this episode.
It's past 9 p.m, isn't it? So.
But in Coronation Street, which is on at 7:30 in the evening, of course, swearing is not allowed. So he often used a standing phrase.
Flipping neck.
No.
Flaming.
Nora.
Flaming Nora.
He'd go, Flaming Nora. And I feel like they almost invented that for Les. I mean, it maybe existed before, but it was very much his catchphrase.
Yeah.
But basically, in real life, he'd have been going, fucking hell. You just can't say that, can you, in Coronation Street?
I mean, I know time is of the essence here, but I can't not tell the story about my father. I'll try and keep it tight. But he, for a bit of extra cash, for some reason, very random, he was a timber specialist, and yet his boss was like, oh, can you pick Les Battersby up from the station and bring him somewhere else? I mean, I have no idea why this was going on.
So your dad's boss, who was the boss of the timber yard,
yes,
said to your dad, who was a timber specialist, Paul, would you mind doing me a quick favour? Les Battersby, the actor Bruce Jones, is down the station.
Yeah.
Would you go and pick him up?
Yeah.
And take him somewhere? And your dad said, yeah, of course.
It was just a bit extra. It was like 100 quid just to pick him up.
So out of hours work, sort of fiddle job.
Yeah, a bit on the side, I think. But the great thing was he was eating a chip butty in the back of the car. And he had the rubbish. After he finished, he had the rubbish and he said, oh, I'm going to have to put this in the bin somewhere. And my dad just like pulled up on the high street next to a bin. And he said to me, Daddy, like, if I get dirty, I'm going to be mobbed. Because obviously it's Les Battersby. I mean, to be fair, it was Sheffield and he probably would have. But I mean, like, just you could just lean out the window, pop it in the bin and lean
back
in.
Can't stop here, so. I'll get mobbed.
But this is peak Les. Do you know what I mean? Like he was pretty well known at that point. So.
Fair enough. I wonder if it was anything to do with the Full Monty, because he was in the Full Monty, wasn't he? I wonder if there was any connection. Which was obviously filmed in Sheffield.
That's actually not a bad point.
Mm.
And yeah.
Could have been.
Don't know if I'll ever find out the answer to that.
Mm.
But on that sour note, no, I'll tell you something. It's been a fantastic show.
I've loved it.
A late night lock in. I hope everyone who's listening has enjoyed. And, you know, like we've said on the tin, if the episode is to be enjoyed with a lager.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And ideally late at night, but that's up to you, of course.
Whatever
of course.
The time.
I think
day.
The problem is people are going to hear us like cracking open lagers and the ice clinking in the glasses. They're going to get thirsty. Thirsty for a thickwit.
Thirsty for a thickwit. I'm toasty for a tickwit.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, enjoy a thickwit on us.
Enjoy a thickwit on us.
Of course.
thank you very much, John Patrick, for tonight's late night lock in.
Mm. Do you mean Jay Sizzler?
I was going to add Sizzler on the end, actually. Though. Oh, yeah. I went back to professional mode here. But
okay.
Why the hell? You're right. The tits are out the bath on this one.
It's true.
See ya, Sizzler. See ya, Sizzler.
See ya, Skills. And all the people listening.
Yeah.
And, of course, laters, how's it?
Yes. See you later, Skillo. See you later, Sizzlo. And see you later, all our terrible fanzos.
And I'll leave you with this that was sent in from friend of the family, friend of the show, an official terrible fan.
He's got a badge to prove
He's
it.
He's got a badge to prove
He's
it.
He's got a badge
Cole
to prove it.
Corinne, who is on Instagram, because not only does he send us stuff in, he also has done artwork for us. You may have seen it online. And he does his own art, which is on his Instagram, Cole Corinne, also known as Cole the Vegan Ape, is his Instagram handle. So I advise you go and follow him. He does a lot for the terrible features. But he sends us this sign off today. We will fight them in the streets. We will we will fight them on the beaches. But we won't fight the boys of terrible features. Good night.
Good night.
I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to fight Cole either because he's rich.
You have been listening to Seldom Differs Terrible Features with Matt Skillington, John Patrick and Ryan Howes. Intro and outro theme by Old. You can follow them at Old Music on Instagram. If you want to follow the boys at Seldom Differ, you can get them at Twitter, at Seldom Differ, Instagram, Seldom_Differ, and Facebook, at Seldom Differ Comedy. You should also subscribe at Seldom Differ on YouTube. Thank you to Luke Collins at Appley Bridge Studio for his additional audio work. And thank you to all you Patreon subscribers. If you're interested in supporting us, then go to patreon.com/seldomdiffer. And there you can donate as little as £1 a month, that's 25p an episode, that's not too bad, to £3 plus a month, which will allow you access to all of our bonus material. Please do give us a 5-star rating and a review. We'd be unbelievably grateful. Thanks for listening.
Four cans of lager, eh?